From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Andy and Dustin discuss planting progress. Russ is joined by Channel Seed agronomist Tyler Vrugdenhill, and we hear from Kurt Blades with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers about Ag on the Mall. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, here we go. It's a Tuesday. It is the 23rd of April, Dustin, and looks like based on observations in the countryside and some social media posting, a lot of Plant 24 is kicking off here on the corn side of the equation ahead of some potential rainfall here today. Hard to do much spraying when the wind is blowing the way that it's been blowing. I got a little bit done this morning, but that machine will be sitting, it looks like, for the rest of the day as well. We've got a busy show lined up, as always.
Yeah, that we do. We're going to talk with the folks from Channel Seed. We also hear from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, a big event coming up to help educate our consumers and also some policymakers up in Washington, D.C. That's coming up here at the beginning of next month. And, yeah, of course, we'll also be talking some of that planting progress and see where we're at. Weekly Crop Progress Report came out yesterday, got some information there, and kind of go overall. As you said, corn starting to go in the ground. Of course, that has a little bit longer time frame than our soybeans, so the window sometimes is shorter to get that done. Well, right now, let's go ahead and kick things off with a check of the markets. We have Joe Kemp from Comstock Investments joining Mark right now.
Joined today by Joe Kemp of Comstock for our opening market discussion. Joe, what's happening in the grains?
We've got the grains digesting this latest crop progress report, and that means some slight strength for wheat. We had those condition ratings drop yesterday evening, and that was something that came as expected, unfortunately, because of this ongoing concern over dryness. We've got the hard red wheat crop in particular. Overall, the portion of the winter wheat rated good to excellent was at 50%. That was down 5 points for the week, so a pretty drastic drop. Still, we got to be reminded that that's almost double the good to excellent score from a year ago. So we've got an improved look, relatively speaking, but not if you compare it to our thoughts just about a month or so ago. And that could fit, too, with a lot of these numbers in terms of estimates from the USDA, that maybe we feel like we've seen the high water mark, and that could include the supply numbers for South America. That's still a big storyline we're watching. We're monitoring crop progress for Brazil and Argentina. As the Brazilian harvest is all but wrapped up, you've got Argentina just starting. They're trying to account for a big disease issue this year, the leaf hopper infestation. So we're just trying to sift through these numbers that are so far this morning a bit friendly for wheat, but just a little negative for corn and soybeans on light overnight volume.
You mentioned it a little bit there, that production number for Brazil and soybeans, you know, has been such a question, and we haven't known exactly what that number is going to end up looking like. But is there any clear indication about what direction that number might be headed in?
Definitely seems to be still the expectation that down is the direction for USDA's estimate for corn and soybean production in Brazil. And probably the same could be said for Argentina. But back to Brazil, we're talking about still a historic gap for the USDA over Brazil's CONAB agency, and for that matter, the rest of the trade. USDA looks way high relative to. We're talking about differences of over 500 million bushels for both the corn and soybean crops. Soybeans, a discrepancy still from last year's crop and this new one here to reconcile, and we think we'll come closer in next month's report. Unfortunately, it's the case that those changes can be somewhat hidden under the bigger focus next month with the May WASDE, including the first look at the balance sheets for the U.S. new crop estimates. And so it's still something we expect to occur, but it's later than we'd like.
And we'll have more from Joe Kemp of Comstock Investments later on in the program. Right now, Andy Peterson is here, and he's got the first round of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Bittersweet, perhaps, is the best way to encapsulate the reaction of the Iowa Ag industry to the announcement that E15 year-round sales will be allowed via emergency waiver in 2024. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Negg says there's a lot about this that could be better.
it also just underscores how we continue to seek that national solution. We don't have that national year-round access E15 solution that we want. You know, it's a little frustrating.
He reminds us there was a solution in place back in 2019, but the D.C. District Court blocked the year-round option. Now the EPA knows why it was overturned, so the fix should be simple.
Number two.
Taking a look at planting progress across the state, according to the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, when field conditions allowed, corn planted reached a 13% mark 3 days ahead of last year and the five-year average. 8% of the expected soybean crop has been planted, according to the report, 4 days ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of the average. As far as pastures and hay ground, they continue to green up, the report states. Due to much-needed rainfall, no reports, though, yet, of cattle turned on to pasture.
Number one.
Highlighting the importance, getting off to a good start, early season crop nutrition is key, according to Eric Wynums, research farm manager and technical agronomist for Brandt.
Typically, when we're trying to maximize yields, we're trying to push the envelope on planting earlier and earlier. But in some instances, we're planting into some cooler soil conditions, and the nutrition that's in our soils may not be mineralized yet. So if we're planting into cooler soils, even though we may have high organic matter, high P and K levels in our soils, a lot of that may not be available for crop uptake right from the start. By the time it starts to emerge, it's putting out its nodal root system. And it's really important that when that nodal root system is going out, that it has access to nutrition, because that's about the time when that crop emerges between emergence and V2, it'll start to come off of its seed reserves and it needs to start taking in nutrition. So that's why having nutrition available is really important.
He says the biggest additive is sulfur here in Iowa, using something like ammonium thiosulfate at planting, banding it in a 2x2 placement along the crop row. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, as we said, planters are rolling ahead of what could be a wet finish of the week. And, of course, the wind makes it hard to spray, as Andy was talking about. We're going to run down what's going on planting progress-wise, and we'll have that come up for you next here on Iowa Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, the weekly crop progress planting progress report is out from USDA's National Ag Statistics Service, and some of the numbers may surprise you a little bit. Andy, Dustin, Riley, and Mark here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Dustin, if you've looked at the numbers, so you've got an unfair advantage. I was going to say, how much corn do you suppose we've got in the ground here in the state of Iowa, according to NASS?
According to NASS, and I look at the numbers briefly when I get them inserted, but I'm going to say probably about 10%.
Yeah, 13%. Okay. 3 days ahead of last year and 3 days ahead of the five-year average. 8% of the expected soybean crop has been planted. That's 4 days ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of the average. That number surprises me a little bit, based on some Pioneer estimates that I saw a week ago, for one. And for two, this continued further understanding that the little soybean seedlings are more hardy, if you will, than the corn, or maybe less particular about the conditions into which they're planted than the corn is. But either way you slice it, you can argue about the numbers. We are ahead of last year and the five-year average. So even though it may not feel like it, we're off to a pretty good start.
Well, and that's good news. I mean, we know we are ahead of schedule, and we are getting some rain that we need at the same time. You know, it's a good mix to have in there. You know, talking with Secretary Nag yesterday, like he said, there's not much going on in his neck of the woods. But like you said, the timetables are different from northern Iowa to southern Iowa. And, you know, you want to make sure the conditions are right to do it. And right now, like you said, they're not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. They'll take the precipitation and take what's given to them. But like you said, getting the seeds in when it's drier is a little easier. But hopefully Mother Nature will start getting her head screwed on straight. But again, it is, you know, middle to end of April. And, you know, she does get temperamental about when she wants to warm up, because she'll flip-flop between summer and winter for the next 2 weeks and call the average spring, I guess. But, well, you know, eventually we know we're going to get there, barring any major, I mean, major situations weather-wise. And that would take like a massive flood before we would have any issues like that where we couldn't get the crop in.
Yeah, even though the talk nationally in the markets is that they're concerned about some planting delays already, which would be a little bit early, given not only the numbers for Iowa, but the numbers nationally as well. Looking at the soil temp map with the overnight low temperatures where they have been, we are almost to 50 degrees in much of the state, save for far eastern Iowa and far northeastern Iowa. The projections are that we'll get there everywhere by later on today, but then it's projected to cool off a little bit for the next couple of days before the temperatures warm up. And of course, we get a more active, shall we say, weather pattern on towards this weekend. So, you know, the decisions that get made about going and what's acceptable and so on only seem to get more complex the more numbers that you put into the equation. Imagine that. I guess that's how that's always worked, as I think back to high school math class, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the odds are always what they are, and you're going to have those chances and whatever you have. And, you know, I always remember, though, going back to it, you know, my grandpa and stuff, they didn't have the technology that we have available now. And, you know, we always seem to make it work. We always seem to find a way, and that's the beauty of the business, you know, is making sure it works. So definitely looking forward to seeing what those numbers bring. Hopefully the active weather pattern will not be too detrimental to the planting, and we hope to hear more progress coming up next week. And I want to remind you, segment two here is brought to you by Experia from Elanco. More Iowa Ag Matters. That's coming up right after this.
Every day you navigate a complex business and changing demands. Stay a step ahead with Experia. The first FDA-approved product of its kind, Experia creates the freedom and flexibility to support environmental stewardship without hindering animal performance measures like average daily gain, feed efficiency, and carcass characteristics. Own your future now. Talk to your Elanco representative or visit experiabeef.com to learn more.
Well, we're talking about planting. We'll get some recommendations from our friends at Channel Seeds a little bit later on here as to what that formula for deciding when to go and when to sit ought to include. Coming up next, Dustin has some statewide cash elevator price numbers for us on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture.
Let's go ahead and check those elevator numbers for you on this Tuesday, April 23rd for Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Dustin Huffman. A couple elevators are starting to up their soybean bids just a little bit. Let's take a look at where they're at today. Let's start at ADM Burlington. They're a penny over on corn, $4.41, and they're even on soybeans today at $11.62. Cargill Eddyville, a dime over on corn, cash bid $4.50. New Co-op Algona, a dime over on corn, $4.50. Soybeans, 55 cents under, cash bid $11.07. Ag State Sheldon, 25 cents over on corn, 465. Soybeans, 65 cents under, they're at 1097. Ag State Alta, 2 cents under on corn, 438. Soybeans, 55 cents under at 1107. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 27 cents over on corn, 467. Soybeans are a dime over at 1172. Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, 15 cents over on corn, 455. Soybeans, 45 cents under at 1117. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, 18 cents over on corn, cash bid 458. ADM Des Moines, 8 cents under on their bid for soybeans, cash price 1154. New Co-op Red Oak, 5 cents over on corn, 445, soybeans 50 cents under at 1112. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, a dime under on corn, cash bid 430, soybeans 48 cents under at 1114. New Co-op Sheraton, 15 cents under on corn, 425, soybeans 55 cents under at 1107. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 6 cents under on corn, they're at 434, soybeans 42 cents under at 1120. New Co-op Glidden, a dime over on corn, their cash bid 450, soybeans 50 cents under at 1112. Innovative Ag Services Farley, 6 cents over on corn, 446, soybeans 39 cents under with a cash bid at 1123. And at Cargill Muscatine, they're 2 cents under on corn, 438. Soybeans a dime under at 1152. Reminder, the cash, corn, and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. That's been a check of your basis prices here on Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We still got more markets set to come up here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the midday markets with Andy and Mark, and then some livestock analysis as well. Don't forget about our free market analysis sent to your mobile device 3 times a day, openings, middays, and closing. You can subscribe on Apple, Amazon, Google, Spotify, and Podbean. More Iowa Ag Matters still to come.
Well, planting advice time here, and factors to punch into the equation as to when things are fit and appropriate to plant. Tyler Vrugdenhill with our friends at Channel Seeds, joining special correspondent Russ Parker right now.
Let's talk about what's new and some of the things that this brand is bringing in terms of agronomics and opportunities for not only your customers, but for people thinking about seed purchases, especially as we go into this next marketing year.
The piece that gets me the most excited is really to think about the amount of agronomic support that we're going to be able to have locally with this new channel brand. And what that means if I'm a customer is I get more one-on-one time with that technical agronomist, being able to do things like walk not only my fields but also go to these different sites that have the products I already know and love, but also the products that are still up and coming that I think might have a fit on my operation. So working not only with my technical agronomist, but most importantly, my local channel seed pro to figure out what those products need to be to continue to have success on my operation.
So we've had an interesting growing season last year. And I can tell you that in a lot of Iowa, we're still in some drought. We need some water. And I know there's a wives' tale about fog and water, and if it's true, we had 4 or 5 days of fog about 4 weeks ago or so now. So, you know, the hope is that we get some rain. But let's talk about Channel's offerings in terms of what could be some pretty challenging conditions in this growing season coming up.
You know, that's the thing I love about our portfolio is we have that product that, no question about it, fits every acre. So if I think about the West in particular, being selfish, if we think about a dryland acre where, man, I just need something that works at 18,000 to 22,000 population that's going to give me some flex, we have the products that do that. If I'm working with a situation where, let's say it's limited well irrigation or just a well that's not super efficient, we have products that are going to work in that environment. But also, most importantly, we've got the products that are going to work in that full irrigated environment with awesome soil types. So that's the thing that excites me most is I know we have the product for every acre. And again, that's going to be importantly working locally to help your channel seed pro understand what conditions that you have, what your management style is, and they can work to help you make that product selection.
Okay. Well, that makes sense to me. You know, one of the other things that I kind of find kind of interesting, I guess, is agriculture's changing. And in that, especially with precision planting and some of the opportunities to put different hybrids in the same planter even, you want to talk about what maybe you're expecting in the future when it comes to new ways that customers can consider a seed choice?
I think that all continues to dial into how do I take the acres that I have and make them the most productive that they possibly can be. We all farm those acres that are more marginal, and we all farm the acres that are highly productive. So the producers that can maximize on both those sets of different opportunities in those acres are the ones that are going to continue to win. And I think you said it best, and I've always kind of coached my seed pros and the producers that I'm lucky enough to work with, planter should be one of the most intricate and dialed in pieces of equipment we have, because we've got one chance to do it right. And if we don't do it right at the right time, the amount of yield potential we lose in that one pass is significantly impacting the type of year and production we're going to see, regardless of what the weather gives us for that particular growing year.
Okay, well, Tyler, if our listeners want to get some more information specifically about Channel and some of the choices that are out there, where would you suggest they check that out?
Great question. Definitely go check out channel.com. That's going to be a great resource to help you find seed selection decisions. But as I always say, reaching out to your local Channel Seed Pro to make that connection and start having those conversations of how they can help you on your acres is going to be your best foot forward.
Okay. Well, Tyler, appreciate your time. This is Russ Parker reporting for the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, thanks to Russ for that information from Channel. Right now, we've got Andy Peterson ready to go with round two of the Three Big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
A mixed report on chickens and eggs here in the largest egg-producing state from the United States Department of Agriculture's National Ag Statistics Services. Iowa egg production during March was 1.15 billion eggs. That's a percent higher from a year ago. Now, the average number of all layers on hand during March was 44.2 million. That's actually down 1% from last year. But eggs per 100 layers for March was up 2%, so production improved slightly.
Number two.
Bittersweet, perhaps, is the best way to encapsulate the reaction of the Iowa ag industry to the announcement that E15 year-round sales will be allowed via emergency waiver in 2024. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Negg says there's a lot about this that could be better.
It also just underscores how we continue to seek that national solution. We don't have that national year-round access E15 solution that we want. You know, it's a little frustrating.
He reminds us there was a solution in place back in 2019, but the D.C. District Court blocked the year-round option. Now the EPA knows why it was overturned, so the fix should be simple.
Number one.
Highlighting the importance, getting off to a good start, early season crop nutrition is key, according to Eric Winans, research farm manager and technical agronomist for Brandt.
Typically, when we're trying to maximize yields, we're trying to push the envelope on planting earlier and earlier. But in some instances, we're planting into some cooler soil conditions, and the nutrition that's in our soils may not be mineralized yet. So if we're planting into cooler soils, even though we may have high organic matter, high P and K levels in our soils, a lot of that may not be available for crop uptake right from the start. By the time it starts to emerge, it's putting out its nodal root system. And it's really important that when that nodal root system is going out, that it has access to nutrition, because that's about the time when that crop emerges between emergence and V2, it'll start to come off of its seed reserves and it needs to start taking in nutrition. So that's why having nutrition available is really important.
He says the biggest additive is sulfur here in Iowa, using something like ammonium thiosulfate at planting, banding it in a 2x2 placement along the crop row. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your Three Big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Midday markets are coming up next here on Iowa Ag Matters.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by Brandon Doherty of Total Farm Marketing for our midday discussion. Brandon, what are we seeing taking place in the grains on this Tuesday?
We currently have the grains up marginally compared to yesterday's strong close. Wheat closed quite strongly yesterday, and it's currently up 4 to 5 cents, so showing a little bit of follow-through, but not quite as much as yesterday. There hasn't been a lot of fundamental shift in the news to drive yesterday's rally, other than maybe some frost concerns in parts of the southwestern U.S. and then parts of Europe, and maybe some heat and dryness in Ukraine and Russia. So what we're seeing may be some short covering by the funds as we approach first notice day for May contracts.
Was that also a case then, Brandon, yesterday of those headlines about the weather just needing a little bit of something to kickstart the marketplace when it is so quiet as in terms of headlines?
I think so. I don't necessarily think that, like I said, it's the main driver because, you know, a little bit of frost concern and a little bit of heat and dryness in other parts of the world, I don't know if that warranted a 20-some cent rally in wheat, but I think it contributed for sure.
That was Brandon Doherty with Total Farm Marketing. That's the latest on the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Daily estimated cattle slaughter total numbers coming in at 113,000 head. That's 7,000 less than a week ago and 12,000 less than a year ago. Boxes a bit stronger here at midday with 68 loads of choice cuts selling, 295.93, up 26 cents. Select 291.87, $1.04 stronger, meaning that spread narrows just a little bit more to $4.06. As far as pork goes, daily estimated slaughter total numbers coming in at 487,000 head, 5,000 more than a week ago and 20,000 more than a year ago. Off to the cash markets we go to wrap up yesterday's trade for comparison purposes. Barrels and gilts produced or sold on a carcass basis. Negotiated purchases, only 1,632 head yesterday. Pretty light run. Weighted average price, $90.31, up $1.82. We had a ton of negotiated purchases, 201,456 to be exact. Weighted average price, $89.83. So that market was 20 cents weaker. Now, as far as what's happening at midday today, we've already gotten more negotiated purchases than we did all of yesterday. 2,371 head, weighted average price, $91.01. So the market, 45 cents stronger. As far as formula purchases go, 108,000 head, so a pretty light run. Weighted average price, $90.86. That market, $1.20 higher. Market man, Mark Magnuson, back to you.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
May corn up 2.5 at 442.25. May soybeans up 5 even at 1166 even. May soybean meal up 20 cents at 344.50. May soybean oil up 18 cents at 45.22. On the Merck, June live cattle down $2.62 at 175.42. May feeder cattle down 50 cents at 244.67. May lean hogs up $1.35 at 98.05. May pork cut out up 82 cents at 102.90. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Let's continue the livestock conversation here, shall we? And the market conversation in general. Joe Camp from Comstock rejoining Mark Magnuson right now.
On the other side of the ag marketplace, what's happening with the livestock?
A really solid start to the week for cattle futures, up about $3 for a lot of the live cattle contracts, up $3 to $4, almost $5 for August feeder cattle futures. It was a reflection of that bullish cattle on feed report from Friday. You had placements sharply lower. You did have the on feed count also a little bit lighter than expected, but at the same time up slightly for the year. And so it's a balance of saying that maybe we've got enough supply to get us through these next few weeks, but beyond that, we're still in a phase of tightening that we don't see the end of anytime soon. As much as we've liked to have been optimistic about this herd rebuilding effort kicking off sometime in 2024, it still seems a long ways out. And so the futures market is absolutely still now reflecting this bullish leaning for the fundamentals. And so it's a big start up for these cattle futures. Now that they've mostly converged with the cash trade, we're going to watch this cash market as it develops more fully, probably into tomorrow and tomorrow afternoon, and wonder if it starts to rebound again as well.
And what about the hog side of things?
Also a solid start up for the week, more muted in direction. We're finding that the hogs had a pretty big correction lower about a week and a half ago. They consolidated for a few sessions last week. And so far from Friday, a strong close there, following through and seeing some upside to start this week. It's a similar story to cattle in the sense that supplies are relatively tight. We think back to that cold storage report and how we were off sharply from a year ago leading into the summer season. That's something we'll think about more this week with another cold storage update. And it's still the fact that domestic consumers are leaning into a pork market. It's very competitive relative to beef, and domestic consumers are at this point being complemented by really record demand from the pork importers around the world. They really want our U.S. pork, almost 30% we should expect to export in terms of pork production here this year. So that's been a bullish feature and has been again so far this week for futures.
Joe Camp of Comstock, our guest here on Tuesday morning. Joe, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch for more marketing information?
I'd love to hear from the listeners, especially letting us know how it's going in this early planning effort. We can lend out our contact information, all of that up at comstock.com.
Get in touch with Joe and the team at Comstock. Joe, thanks so much for the time and have a great rest of your week.
You as well. Thanks, Mark.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, sharing the story of ag is more important now than ever, and we're going to talk with the folks of the Association of Equipment Manufacturers next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, one of the cool things each and every year is to see the equipment that we utilize in the Iowa ag industry on display at the mall in Washington, D.C., which, by the way, is a place that Dustin will be here in just a week or so at Washington Watch through the National Association of Farm Broadcasting. Unfortunately, the equipment won't be there, but when it is, it serves several purposes, and Dustin has more now on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, with ag policies still in limbo and a growing disconnect between consumers and their food, it's always good to take the time to help tell the story of American agriculture and give our audience a firsthand experience of what we do. That's why events like Modern Ag on the Mall in Washington, D.C. are so important. It brings modern ag equipment and information to a very public place. Coming up early next month, the Association of Equipment Manufacturers will bring modern farm equipment to the National Mall to show policymakers and to the public. Kurt Blades is AEM's Senior Vice President of Agriculture, and he talks about why events like this are so important.
For the second time in the last 3 years, we're pleased to be hosting a celebration of modern agriculture on the National Mall. This really provides an opportunity for those of us in the ag industry to tell the story to lawmakers and policymakers and the general public about what is happening in modern agriculture and the difference that it's making in producing food and fiber and fuel for a growing world.
The event will run May 6th, 7th, and 8th and is open to the public from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And Blade says the event is trying to target specific groups of people.
Our first audience is an audience of about 50 to 200 people. And those are those folks that are really involved with writing public policies that are really impacting agriculture. The secondary audience is also very exciting, and that's the general public. That might be hill staffers or just general public that are walking through the mall. So we love to be able to tell those stories. Tractors and combines and pieces of equipment are pretty good eye candy and a pretty good way to lure people in to tell that story to an audience that is less and less informed than they have been in the past.
Blades adds that this is not going to just feature ag machinery, but all kinds of modern technology will be available to share with the public.
Well, first of all, the National Mall is a very big place. So if you've been there, you know we're talking football fields in length. And so we've got 25 different companies and 30 different associations representing various aspects of agriculture. And we'll have everything from sprayers and combines to small tractors to robotic milking to irrigation, all of the things that you see on a modern farm today. And the really interesting place of the backdrop of the nation's capital and Washington Monument.
Blades also says that the timing of this event is perfect. With a farm bill hanging in the balance, educating consumers and policymakers is a great way to generate more support for the largest piece of agriculture and food legislation.
The timing of this year's Celebration of Modern Ag on the National Mall couldn't be better, as we are still without the passage of a new farm bill. There are two critical pieces of legislation that AEM is a big supporter of in the new farm bill, and that's the Precision Ag Loan Act and the Precise Act. Both of those bipartisan bills provide incentives for farmers to invest in precision agriculture. So we look forward to telling those stories to the influential audience of Washington, D.C. We like to be in that environment at a very important time while those debates are happening in the halls of the Capitol.
You can learn more about this event at AEM.org and find the link on our website at iowaagnet.com. For Iowa Ag Matters, I'm Dustin Huffman. April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, I mentioned Dustin's headed to Washington, D.C. next week. Always a great time to get caught up with our policymakers, Dustin, and find out what's happening in our nation's capital.
Yeah, that it is. Looking forward to Washington Watch. You're going to get a chance to go to the USDA, hopefully hear from USDA Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, and I'll be visiting with Senator Joni Ernst at her office. I'm going to hear from Senate Ag Committee Leader Debbie Stabenow, House Ag Committee Leader G.T. Thompson, and many more. We're also going to talk with a lot of the policymakers for a lot of these organizations like National Pork, Growth Energy. All of them will be in Washington, obviously. So getting a chance to do that. And also, broadcasters always get some nice activity out of it. And we're going to be going on a nighttime cruise of the Potomac up and down around the mall in that area. So I'm looking forward to that. But always great to hear more about policy, find out what's going on. Farm bill will be the hot topic. I'm sure E15 will get brought up, even though we have this emergency waiver and more. So it'll be an interesting trip, and I look forward to sending more back from you from Washington. And thanks, everybody, for joining us here on Iowa Ag Matters. We'll see you back here again tomorrow.